This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Day around the time, we'll do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Nikola Jokic is good. He is really good and probably going to be the MVP. Last night, 29, 11, and 8 assists. It came easy, and he didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Exited the game with 27 seconds left. When they put you to sleep, Denver will do that. Now, that's the second time, too, that the Denver Nuggets have really thumped you. 37 points the last time they met. There was a close one, 108-104. That was way back on October 27th. You got one more against the defending world champs who, oh, by the way, are back to the top of the Western Conference. They are your current number one seed with the role they've been on. Even more impressive, 128 in handling the Grizzlies, 128-103 was the fact that Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon didn't even play. Denver still shot 53%, 47% from three-point range. They are 15-2 since the All-Star break, and they look like the best thing smoking in the Western Conference right now. And frankly, if you look at the box score from last night, and know all these guys aren't going to be in the rotation come the playoffs, but they are way deeper than I thought that they would be, especially after losing, you know, guys like Bruce Brown, everything else. Now, by the time they got the playoffs, they're only playing eight guys, and maybe they end up doing that again. Christian Braun, those guys, Braun, how do you pronounce it?
It's Brown.
It's Brown, yeah. Spelled Braun.
Yes.
I still have trouble with it, even though we should have caught up by now. They look tremendous, is what I'm trying to get at. And what else do you trust in the West? What do you trust more than you trust Denver? Are you ready to say that Minnesota's ready? No. OKC, as impressive as they have been, are they ready for a deep run in the Western Conference Finals or even making a Finals? No. You certainly wouldn't put them above the Denver Nuggets. And then if you look at the old guard, you know, L.A. and Golden State are just trying to hang on to play-in spots right now. Certainly don't seem like they're primed to make deep runs in the playoffs, although we did see it from L.A. They did end up running into the buzzsaw that is Denver. So from the Denver side, man, there's a lot to like. They're shaping up right on time. And again, you're doing that last night without Aaron, without Jamal Murray. So they're doing fine. As for the Grizzlies, next up will be the Lakers. We've talked about it quite a bit because it could mark the return, hopefully it is, of one Brandon Clark, who's been upgraded, was upgraded to doubtful for the Denver game, as Jessica told us, did go through warm-ups and everything else. Just hoping that he stays healthy and that you see him running up and down the floor, catching alley-oops, and he looks something like he did before he went out last March with the Achilles injury. This is a serious one. And let's be real, too. Brandon Clark is a guy whose game is predicated off of his athleticism, his bounce. A lot of what he gets on the putbacks and everything else, you get it off that athleticism. And so hopefully you'll see that. You'll see the bounce right there, that kind of thing. Don't expect big minutes. I don't want him playing big minutes trying to get wins here down the stretch, these final 10, 11 games. I just want to see him have the bounce back. And I'm sure just about every player in that organization, player, coach, trainer, wants the same in that organization as well. So hopefully it's Brandon Clark back, and maybe it's LeBron James. We discussed it a little bit. Mm-hmm. LeBron likely to be out tonight. He's listed as doubtful against the Milwaukee Bucks. They'll be on the second night of a back-to-back when they come in here tomorrow to take on the Grizzlies. You'd think if he's doubtful tonight, a good chance that he plays tomorrow against the Grizzlies. They're trying to, again, hold on to that nine spot. And maybe telling themselves, look, we, with the way Phoenix is playing, look who they just lost to last night. We can they lost to the Spurs without Wimby.
Wow.
How about that? So the Lakers may be looking at it and say, well, we get, let's go get, you know, a couple of wins this week. Yeah, we'll play LeBron against the Grizzlies because we think we can catch the Phoenix Suns. We'll see if they can do that. I'm hopeful, though, that you'll get LeBron in Memphis and hopefully, too, Brandon Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next story.
Thank you very much. You know, you watch the Grizzlies, so we don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't tell you how poorly Bane and Jaren shot the ball yesterday.
We don't
need to do that.
I just checked it on the score, and I'm like, dang, that was ugly. But who cares?
Well, it's just more evidence why you need a... You need somebody in there to bang with Jokic and allow Jaren to do his
thing.
Bang! Now, again, an Andre Drummond, some veteran center in there next to Jaren next year. Don't start this thing game one as Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson. Jaren's at the five.
Facts.
That's not the right way to go. That's what we learned again last night.
That's what we always going to learn.
But we knew that, though.
Yeah.
We knew that, though.
And I appreciate you doing what you need to do to bring us that information.
There's your Grizzlies wrap for the day.
Yeah. So, NFL owners. Changed some rules up. We knew that. We talked about that a little bit. But just to go over it, after 3 days of discussion at the league's annual meeting for a format that originated in the XFL, it's coming to the NFL. So basically, it is the most significant on-field rule change for the NFL in many years. And we talked. You mentioned it. 4 out of 5 kickoffs not returned last year. So it's going to move the majority of the kicking and return teams downfield to minimize those high-speed collisions. It's going to go in effect for 1 year only in anticipation of possible tweaks over time. So during the 2024 season, kickers are going to still kick off from the 35-yard line, but the other 10 players in the kickoff team will line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. So that's going to be a little weird looking.
They're on the complete other side of the field.
Yeah, that's going to be
kickers by himself.
Yeah, 9 members of the return team will line up in a setup zone between the 35 and 30-yard lines. Up to 2 returners can line up in a landing zone between the goal line and the 20-yard line.
They're only 5 to 10 yards away from the kickoff team that's now down on its side, the receiving team's side of the field.
Yes.
Can you see it now?
Yes, I can see it.
Yes.
I guess it's worked in the XFL. More than 90% of kickoffs were returned during their 2 seasons. RIP XFL, The Rock's impact on the game continues to show.
Man, stop.
I guess that's, if you're going to do a kickoff, that makes sense.
What did the Maniacs used to do when we ran out on the field, got that ball, and made 1-on-1? Let's add that. When was that? Let's do that again.
Now, that was good.
Let's bring that to the NFL.
Yes.
Was that about who got the ball first?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes. That was like...
That's what we would send He Hate Me out there. Man, wasn't it Keith Smart doing that for us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could tell you really remember the details.
It was like, there was like a...
Yeah.
I can't remember what they called it, but they would like roll. They would start both guys at the same.
Yes, and you could just say all out sprint to the ball.
Yes,
and whoever could get it.
Yes, so and like that, but like it was like very barbaric though.
Barbaric. We loved it.
Yeah,
it was sort of a wrestling component.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it was.
I mean, since we're borrowing from XFL, you know, we can borrow. What else can we borrow from other leagues that would really work well in the NFL? I think that would.
With wrestling.
Well, just from other leagues, other football leagues.
I don't pay close enough attention. Like the USFL had a running clock. Did you like that?
No,
I didn't either. I don't know if they're going to continue that in the UFL.
Okay.
I don't pay close enough attention to. Didn't the USFL had like the 3-point conversion?
Really?
Yeah, they had like the. You could like start at like the 15 or 20-yard line or something after you score a touchdown.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
I'd be open to something new like that, though.
Yeah. You start at the 10.
Okay. And that one's for 3.
Yes. Onside kicks are allowed or can be replaced by a 4th and 12 from your own 33.
Okay.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Same probability, probably. Probably a better chance to get the 4th and 12 and get a penalty or something. Overtime periods start at the opponent's 2-yard line, like college. Would you like to see that?
No.
I would not like to stay there. But do you like the 3-point conversion?
Yeah, kind of. A little bit.
Well, that's all I got, bro. I mean, those are the big things that were different. I mean, if you're not... If you're not fired up, there's nothing I'm going to be able to tell you here. So this is what happened in the rule changes this year officially.
So there's no sneak attack onside either, John?
Oh, yeah. I guess you have to inform the officials now. So you can't
do it on the sly and try to coach that up.
I feel
up.
Like that worked like maybe like once ever.
Not a lot.
Didn't you go back to the traditional formation when you decide to do that?
Sean Payton tried. He started the season with a sneak attack against the Raiders. And that's how that season went. I mean, I don't really feel like it catches anybody off guard, really and truly.
Surprise onside kicks were successful 60% of the time between 2001 and 2010.
What about the other 12 years,
I don't know,
though?
I'm trying to figure that out.
We just kind of arbitrarily stopped tracking in 2010. They must have stopped working.
I think they don't seem to work.
60% is an amazing clip, though. There's no way it's 60%.
I think it changed. The rule changed, maybe.
Yeah, they had to have because that's working too much.
It looks like it's 20.
Okay, so 20%, which is more than a standard onside kick.
I kind of like that play, though.
Well, you're not going to have that anymore. You're not going to have the hip drop tackle anymore.
Well, that's gone.
Teams now, this is good. Teams receive a third challenge after one successful challenge.
Yeah, well, that was smart.
That's good.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
You used to have to win both.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you win one, you get two more.
Yeah. Okay. You'll have the third available.
Well, that's good.
If there is a double foul during a down in which there is a change or changes of possession, including if one of the fouls is a post-possession foul by a team during a scrimmage kick, the team last gaining possession will keep the ball after enforcement for its foul, provided it did not foul before last gaining possession. Now, can you repeat that back
to
me?
No, I can't. I lost you somewhere in there.
No, I need you to repeat it back to me.
Around the word foul.
That's crazy.
That you said 20 times.
Did you get the spirit of the
thing? I didn't at all. I really couldn't. I lost it.
Okay, I'm going to. So when I.
You're going to have to go a little slower.
So when I was doing that, all you heard was.
Foul,
mana,
foul,
doot,
foul.
Doot, 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 mana, doot, 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 doot.
Something like that.
Mana, doot, doot. Okay, let me try to do this again, all right? For all you dummies out there that can't seem to grasp.
No, I really helped you envision the new kickoff. You have not done a good job helping me envision this.
Okay, double foul. One team commits a penalty, the other team commits a penalty.
I got it.
If there is a change of possession during the play, including if one of the two penalties is a post-possession, so after a fumble, for example, penalty by a team during a scrimmage kick. Okay, so
scrimmage kick.
Yeah.
I thought we were playing a real game.
Now this is just the scrimmage iteration.
Okay,
The team last gaining possession. So let's say the Bears and the Raiders played. Bears take a kickoff off a scrimmage kick. All right, there is a hold, right, by the Bears, but after the fumble recovery by the Raiders. Chandler Jones smacks Roshon Johnson in the face. You know, he's gone, but I'm just using this as an example.
Okay.
The Raiders would still keep possession. There would not be offsetting penalties.
That would prevent
free kick.
The Raiders from getting
that would not happen. Yeah. It would now be.
Okay, yeah, that's a common sense one.
I don't know that that's a change, but did that help you visualize maybe a little bit?
Look, how often does that happen, the change of possession on offsetting?
Clearly enough.
One before, one during, one after.
Maybe if I read it in a British accent, it will.
No, I actually got it that time.
Okay. I'm just trying to get through
when
to you.
When you said Bears, Raiders.
Right.
Yeah, I was able to envision.
Yeah, two NFL franchises.
Yes.
Storied as they come.
Scrimmage kick. Let's just say kick.
Well, it's a scrimmage kick. It's just a scrimmage kick. So lots of rule changes coming. Did not ban the tush push. The tush push was very controversial, as it always has been.
Good.
And the tush push will. Because you know why? Most teams can't freaking do it.
Right.
Love it.
Because nobody has Jason Kelce. Well, and no one will.
Nor do the Eagles have Jason Kelce.
Gabe was adamant they should keep it.
That play won't nearly be as effective.
Yeah, Gabe.
Kelce was the key.
Gabe, speaking of Gabe, he was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter last night about like quarterbacks or something. And it just got me.
I saw that.
It got me thinking like about the first time I had my heart broken. It wasn't by a woman. It was by a man.
Oh, no.
And it was a man that he mentioned. Because he was talking about, he was retweeting a guy named Brian Drake. People who love J.J. McCarthy, NFL scouts, NFL coaches, analysts who aren't looking for clicks. People who don't like J.J. McCarthy, guy who's a tape expert after watching YouTube highlights, dude with Ohio State alum in bio, hot take artists. And Gabe responded and said, just wanted to drop a quick list of quarterbacks that scouts, coaches, and analysts love. Ryan Leaf, Jamarcus Russell, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Mitch Trubisky, every quarterback in the first round of 2021, any tall, white pocket QB from the years 1990 to 2010.
Mm. Yeah.
And it got me thinking, like,
that's right.
Bro, I believed with every fiber of my being in Jamarcus Russell. I did. I believed in that big man.
Yep.
You weren't in the interviews, though.
I wasn't. But I just thought he was a country boy. He's just a country boy. That's what I thought. Like, you know, I'm not worried about that. He can throw the ball 80 yards on one knee. This dude is unbelievable. And he just could not stay off the codeine.
No.
He just couldn't, man.
No.
Sad. And it got me to thinking, man, like, where the hell is Jamarcus Russell right now? Does anybody know? Is he okay? I mean, that dude was the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
He was the number one pick in 2007. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous how we don't know where that guy is. Like, he's not in the media. He's not on, you know. You don't ever wonder where.
No, I don't. No, I don't ever wake up wondering that or even.
Bro.
It doesn't even.
They called him Jamu.
Crossed my mind.
Because he was so fat.
Yeah.
Jamu. That's what they called him.
Not fatter than Jared Lorenzen.
No, he wasn't. But Jared Lorenzen wasn't a number one overall pick. He didn't have to wear that crown. Jamarcus, bro, I love you, man.
Oh, we have an update. There was something written about him here in January.
Okay.
It appears.
Please be good.
Leading
news.
A 7-on-7 group.
Let me find the article. Stand by here. I gotta go through the clits clickbaity. So it's a little, but it is an update.
Please be.
He's helping kids.
He is helping kids. It appears he is back at Williamson High School in Alabama and acts as their quarterback coach.
Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's a good signal.
There you go.
That was the first time I ever had my heart broken. I was 16 years old. I said, this guy's him. This guy's going to be the franchise quarterback. He's going to take the league by storm. I saw his Sugar Bowl performance, throw the ball 80 yards down the field. He had some moments. He had some moments with the Raiders. Like, every little thing he did, you were just like, oh, my God. You know, you just believed. You know, yeah. I don't know if you've ever had a quarterback like that.
I wanted that to be Justin Fields. He had moments where
exactly.
I said, oh, look at that.
Exactly.
There it is. There
I think
it
that's
is.
A good He's comp. A- yep. And you just but, never no, put it no, together.
Fields can – he can still be decent. Jamarcus was a bust from day one for the most part.
Yeah. He had the talent. It wasn't about that. It was just, you know, as it often is. I mean, Paxton Lynch had the same problem. You know, if you don't have the dedication, I mean, it's not going to happen for you in the NFL.
Yep.
It's just not. You can change all the rules you want. Jeff Cox is going to join us on the other side. Talk to him about Memphis basketball, the NCAA tournament. And more. Stick around. Jason and John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Kind of ESPN. Jeff Cargill. Is the host of the Jeff Coggins Show, columnist over at the Daily Memphian. Joins us every Tuesday. No, joins every Thursday. He does not join us every Tuesday. Sorry. I don't know what day it is. But he's here now. Hello, Jeff. How you doing, man? Thanks for being here.
It's good to be here.
Everything just gets incredibly more difficult with multiple children. Like getting out of the house, knowing what day it is, sleeping, Like, I can't think of one activity that I do now that has not been complicated or made more difficult by having multiple children. So
I think that's true. I think that I can totally understand that. That's why Jason stopped at one. Now, I had three. My parents had nine, though. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
I just think at that point, right, you are so far removed from any sense of reality that you don't know what's real and what's not.
You very clearly, at that level, you can't be as micromanaging each one, right? They're kind of free range children at some point. You know, they just do what they do.
It's true, yeah. I mean, it's a fact.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, maybe with two, you know, you're still trying to, like, do that. And so that's definitely been a challenge. We were talking real quick about, you know, the first man to ever break your heart. For me, it was Jamarcus Russell. I really believed that Jamarcus Russell was going to be a franchise. Like, I thought he was going to be Patrick Mahomes, okay, before Patrick Mahomes. But he was not that at all. Who was yours?
Oh, there's a million. I'm a Bills fan, you know. So there's a whole bunch of them. But, like, the Bills drafted the team writ large did. I mean, O.J. Simpson was my running back. So he took a while to break the heart. But, he was one of my favorite players when I was a kid. And only when he became a murderer did he actually break my heart. So that was difficult. But, those would have first-round draft pick after first-round draft pick. But the one that I think was the worst was probably Tom Cousineau. Now, you don't necessarily know Tom Cousineau. Remember yesterday, Deion Sanders, or whatever it was, earlier this week, he said that his son was going to pull an Eli. He was going to do an Eli. And Travis Hunter would, too, do an Eli, meaning they dictate where they go. And that raises the question, how do you do that in the NFL when, you know, there's a draft? What are you going to do, sit out? Like, how exactly is that going to work? John Elway did it once. Well, John Elway threatened to go to the Yankees and play baseball. He'd been drafted by the Yankees. Well, anyway, the Bills one year when I was a youth, they had the number one pick in the draft, and there was a linebacker out of Ohio State named Tom Cousineau. And the Bills drafted him with the number one pick in the draft. And that dude went to play for the Montreal Alouettes as opposed to coming to Buffalo. That was how mad he was about being drafted by Buffalo. And that's sort of when I first realized that this sports thing wasn't necessarily going to work out well for my heart, when they're choosing the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL over playing for the Buffalo Bills. It was funny, though, listening to Gabe's list. They were arguing about. He was arguing about, you know, who are they? Who was they? J.J. McCarthy. He's not a believer in J.J. McCarthy, right? Gabe, and I know that. And so he tweeted out a bunch of quarterbacks who analysts who weren't good. But that's just a list of first round quarterbacks. Like, I don't know. Like, analysts didn't like Josh Allen. He is good. Like, if you can list most first round quarterbacks from the past 10, 20, 30 years. And most of them aren't good. But I don't know what that means. I don't know how that's helpful in terms of figuring out which ones are going to be good and aren't going to be good. Aaron Rodgers fell in the draft. I guess people didn't love him. He's good. Lamar fell in the draft. People didn't love him. He's good. Josh went pretty high in the draft, and people hated him. He's good. So I don't know what the insight is there, except for most of them miss, right?
Yeah.
Including Jamarcus Russell, who's playing. I was listening to y'all. Who's now helping out in a high school?
Which I'm glad. Yeah, but no, I think it's just the nature of the position, right? You know, I mean, I certainly have no clue. Like Brock Purdy, are we kidding? I mean,
how do you explain that Brock Purdy is really good and Sam Darnold stinks? Right?
Exactly.
Sam Darnold was supposed to be really good.
I mean, Jones, right? Mac Jones set every freaking record ever at Alabama.
Even Mac Jones, at least there, you're like, okay, he had a weak arm, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, like, what the hell was supposed to be wrong with Sam Darnold? Nothing. I you know, so, and yet he stinks. So, I don't know. Like, if Brock Purdy's good, like, you tell me. I guess Sam Darnold did turn it over a little too much or something. But I don't think there's a, like, even take these three at the top. I feel pretty good about Caleb Williams, but the next two, I got no idea. I can talk myself into Jaden Daniels, or I can talk myself into Drake May. Either one. I can talk myself to either one. But I'm not, I'm not certain about either one, that's for sure.
Hey, if you're Travis Hunter, which one do you want to be in the NFL, Jeff? If we're saying that roughly $20 million a year when you're at the top of your, at the top of those position groups, which one would you want to be? Travis Hunter seemed like the stardom part of it he likes. And one thing about corners, yes, they're valuable, but the stardom isn't the same as it would be for those top receivers, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think is the salary the same, basically? Does top rung corners make the same? If you were stipulating that I could be as good, if I could be a top five receiver in the league or a top five corner in the league, I think you pick top five receiver. You get the glory.
I mean, it's not even close.
The only downside to being a top five is if you drop a touchdown pass, right? Whatever. Whereas you get burned all the time as a defensive back. Dion had glory, but honestly, a lot of Dion's glory was playing baseball and returns and, but there's not many, who else? Stephon Gilmore was great for a while, Then I also think they get older faster, corners, it feels like, get older faster than receivers, or they seem to age out faster. So, I would rather, if I could be either, I'd rather be a top five receiver.
Yeah.
I read John's column in the Daily Memphian, and while I love the idea, just do what Houston did, right? Just do what Houston did. Follow that template. And I like, John, that in the column you mentioned that it's not like some stretch, because Penny has expressed open admiration often for Kelvin Sampson and the way he's built his culture and all of that, right?
Houston doesn't have some, implicit –
advantage.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, until now.
Right. I mean, now they do because they've done it a bunch.
And they're in the Big 12.
It becomes, yeah, but still, whatever. They were doing it in the, when they were not in the Big 12. So the problem is, as is just pointed out on Twitter by someone, there's literally no indication that Penny is interested in building continuity or culture. Like, he kicks people to the curb every year and brings in a new team every year. You make a very good point. Like, be judicious in the portal, have players who stay, build toughness, all of that. And yet when that runs counter to everything that the way that you've seemed to actually run your program, he does believe in defense. We know that Penny did until this year anyway. But like, everything about the actual way he's run the program is elevate talent over culture, right? Talent over toughness, talent over everything. And so I think it's perfect advice. And I think coming from Kelvin Sampson, it's, you would think Kelvin would be someone Penny would look to because he has, again, open admiration for him. But push comes to shove. Anytime Penny has the choice between talent, between Jordan Brown or Amani Bate, like, he always says yes. He always takes them. If it means kicking a lesser talented player to the curb, that's what he does. Right? So what is the hope that he will do what you suggested, I guess, is my question.
Honestly, I just kind of wanted to write about Houston, and I'd write for a local place. So
I think it's a valuable point.
Yeah.
I think it's a valuable point. These are similar schools. They're urban universities. And they both do. You're right. They both value toughness. They both value defense. There should be a similarity there. The weird thing is the disconnect between Penny's words and his actions. And maybe it's maybe that's the AAU influence, where you always could go get the most talented player. People always said the AAU stuff is going to be a great asset to Penny because he knew how to put together teams on the fly, whatever else. Maybe that AAU influence has actually harmed Penny because it taught him to always reach for the most talented player, because you can always get him when he's assembling his AAU team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not optimistic. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take it's a reversal. But I mean, we were talking about it earlier. It's just it's not a coincidence that if you look at every Sweet 16 team, there's one or more players on it that has been in that program for 2+ years. right? I mean, there's not a single team still playing that doesn't have a major contributor, and I'm talking like first
not,
off the
yeah,
line.
Wait, does this mean you're not counting Jaden Hardaway?
Correct, unfortunately, yes. It has to be non-related to the coach. And I think, look, when I think about Penny's best years, right, I mean, you had Lester, you had DeAndre. You know, it's the guys that have, you know, been there for multiple years that Memphis enjoyed its most success under. And I think that's been a blind spot, you know. And it's hard to turn that on all of a sudden after you haven't had it, right? I think that's the issue.
Well, it's interesting. The other person who's like, we've mentioned this. This is not, it's not a struggle only in Memphis to figure out what the formula is. And you saw John Calipari on his radio show last night talking about how he's going to have to do things differently as well. And he's going to have to be more judicious about freshmen and reach into the portal for the right guys and whatever else. I thought it was pretty clear from those comments that he's not going anywhere, didn't you?
Oh, at that point, yeah. When you trot him out for the radio show, not a doubt in my mind. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and they're just going to hope he changes, and he's not, you know, and we'll be right. And they'll have a soft landing for him. There's not a soft landing for Penny, which is going to make all of this a little more tense.
Yeah.
I mean, from the program perspective, you can't just shift him. I mean, I guess maybe you could do that, but I mean.
But it's also true that Penny doesn't have the hurdle that, like, for John to make Kentucky fans happy next year, is it Final Four? Is it Elite Eight? It's at least Elite Eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? But for Penny, here's the truth. Penny, all he has to do next year, and I'm not saying to fully satisfy everybody, but it will be deemed a comeback year next year if they make the tournament and lose in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason he can't do that. There's no reason he can't make the tournament and lose in the first round. And that's the weird thing about missing the tournament this year, is that then when you get back into the tournament next year, instead of people saying, when's the deep run, when's their deep run, they're going to say, hey, is that good? That last year was an aberration. Penny's figured out the formula. He's righted the ship. Now he's back in the tournament. He's been 3 or 4 years. That's what the narrative will be. There doesn't have to be a soft landing. That is the soft landing. The soft landing is some modest level of success, which I think he is capable of achieving.
Right.
How are you taking in these final Grizzlies games, Jeff? Put a bow on the season for us.
One of the nice things is, you know, we got the Marc Gasol game, so that'll be
April
fun.
April 6th.
And then there's the last game that's against Denver, and that's say goodbye. You know, that'll be fun. That'll be fun to say goodbye. You got 2 Lakers games, right? You'll see if LeBron plays in those. Actually, as a home slate, it is not all that bad. And then if some of you are still interested in James Wiseman and Jalen Duren's been good, you got a Detroit game. Actually, in terms of the remainder of the home schedule, it's not a terrible home schedule. But I mean, how am I taking it in? I'm watching the NCAA tournament to see if I want one of these bigs, right? I mean, isn't that really like I'm watching Toronto lose every single damn game, and so they stay ahead of the Grizzlies in the race to the bottom. And that's really what I'm focused on. This season, you just want it to be over.
And it sounds like right now, and you tell me if I'm right, you're subscribing to more to the, I like the idea of bringing in a rookie big more so than I like the idea of bringing in a Reed Shepherd that could replace a Luke Kennard, which then you could use the contract, the money, the freed space to go get the big, right? You're leaning more toward, if I'm going to use the pick, that first round pick, I'm going to get a big? Is that kind of where you're at now?
I've never really believed totally in drafting by position, because that's where you get Hashim Thabeet, right? Like you say, well, we need a big, so you draft Hashim Thabeet. So it depends on the big. I'm pretty persuaded by Donovan Klingon, though. You know, I mean, now am I persuaded by Kyle Filipowski? Not necessarily, because he doesn't really, you know, he doesn't really do what you need. Fine. I mean, he might be a perfectly valuable player, but he doesn't fit that. If you're saying, let's stipulate that you know that the Grizzlies need next year someone who, when they play, you know, Rudy Gobert, or when they play Jokic, they need someone who can bang, and not for necessarily every game, but in certain matchups, you need that kind of a big, right? Filipowski is not that. So maybe you'll get that out of the draft. Maybe you'll get it somewhere else. If you get it out of the draft, the only one that I really see out of the draft you know, who you would pick with that, whether wherever you end up, 8 or 7 or wherever it is Klingon. And so I like that idea. Now, I don't like the idea of reaching for, you know, Zach Edey or something, you know, over Reed Shepard or over Jacoby Walter or, you know, there. I mean, you still want a player who's going to contribute for 10 to 15 years. And so if you end up with this, if you end up with a wing who can play for you for the next 12 years, that's not a bad thing. It just doesn't, it doesn't, it doesn't solve the problem at center, and then you'll have to solve that another way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, no question about it. Jeff, appreciate you as always, man. Thank you for the time.
Bye.
Yep, he is Jeff Coggins. Joins us every week here on the show. Yep, only 11 left. That's the best thing I can say. You know, then you move on to you know, an off season of great possibilities, fun. You know, you got a couple of decisions to make, and they're all pretty big ones. So, what do you do with the draft pick? Do you trade down? Do you use it on who's there? I mean, where do you win the lottery? And that's no. All you know. Going to be.
I'm going to say that one doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's all going to be on the table. So, anyway, good stuff there from Jeff Calkins. Nick Friedell is going to join us at 1:25. Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is going to bring that interview to you. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped for adventure with capable features, Jason, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating. Ladies and gentlemen, does not get any better than that. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.7 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.